F2A. Number 2A.
Well, we started yesterday with the subject of Christianity, and at the end of the hour, we were talking about the place value of Christianity, that it is the third side of the Holy City, and that we have to be aware that modern thinking is thinking categorially. That means to think in categories. This is something that I want to stress this week very much, because all the time students come to me and say, well, Max, what do you actually mean by thinking in categories? And this is a very natural question, I would say, because we all have gone to school and have never learned to think in categories. We all have learned to think in isolated facts, in isolated truths that are unrelated, whereas understanding demands relationship of facts to facts. Without relationship, we can't understand. We can only learn by heart something, and you know how far that goes if we have to learn facts also in Christian Science, just to learn single truths, how far that goes. Constantly we are in a position that we say, well, what is now the specific truth about this problem and this situation and that situation, which means that we have never been trained in thinking in categories. And that's what makes the science of Christian Science so easy. At first, it looks very difficult to think in completely new ways, to think structurally, to think in categories, to think in tonality. This is all new, but we know that we cannot make a paradigm shift and help the world if we are not going to make a new step in consciousness and culture our consciousness in a new way. So I don't want really to take each individual epistle and consider each individual epistle verse by verse and point out the very many hundreds and thousands of nice verses in it and insights one can get from a single verse. But I want really to try to culture consciousness to think in categories of wholeness. Now, if they ask me, well, what do you mean that we have to think in categories? Then I can say, well, there are in the textbook that underlies the whole subject of Christian Science, there are three main categories, which Mrs. Eddy points out through the capitalized terms. So the very first big job that we have to undertake is to get those three categories right. Now, the first big category, you know, or main category, are the nature of God through the seven synonymous terms. It depicts the nature of God. Then we have a second main category, which you know, namely the four sides of the Holy City. They do not, in the first place, depict the nature of God. They depict the operation, the modus operandi of God, how the seven synonymous terms work in being. So it's quite a different category. And that category is work, Christ, Christianity, and science, and constitute one of the three main categories. Then we had the third main category, namely the four levels of science, namely science itself, then coming down to divine science, then to absolute Christian science, and to Christian science. So actually, we only have three main categories. So everything can be reduced in our understanding to three tonalities of categories. Can you see how easy actually science would be if we would follow the scientific method and would not try to sidestep it? Therefore, if we would culture our consciousness just in these three main categories, we would include within our consciousness the one and the whole, and nothing would be left out, so that everything would have its answer within such a consciousness of the infinite one expressed through the three main categories. Now, in the syllabus classes, we have done those three categories And perhaps it's good to remember that, and perhaps here and there go back to them and culture ourselves in those three main categories. Now, this week we especially take that second category of the fourfold operation of God, of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, because our focus this week is on the epistles. The epistles are at the point of Christianity. I like sometimes to say Christianity in order to bring out that it has nothing to do with Christians that make war for 2,000 years with the brother fellow men and try to convince him of something he doesn't want to be convinced, or else his head is chopped off. That's Christianity. That's not what we mean. It's the outcome of the Christ. That's why I sometimes call it better Christianity. So the focus is on Christianity, and Christianity stands already as a tone, as a tonality for many other ideas, like man and the universe. So whenever we are talking about man or thinking about man or trying to demonstrate a perfect man, then we are at the point of Christianity. So in the epistles, Paul will bring out over and over and over what is the true man, how do we arrive at the true man, how is our attitude in order to establish the true man within ourselves. So everything turns around really man. And this is a question that concerns us always very much. We would like to be men. We don't like to be a mortal. We don't like to be a sinner. We don't like to be a failure. We really like to see how to demonstrate the true man within ourselves. And there comes up already the great difficulty or danger that because we are so much concerned with what is man, that we try to demonstrate man, which is at the point of Christianity, without first asking ourselves what is the category in which man appears. And you see, when you are thinking in category, you first ask about the larger frame of reference in which a problem appears. So if we have man, then we are not asking what is man and try to understand what is man. We first go and to try to see what is the wider frame of reference in which man appears. So we know that man has to do with Christianity, and Christianity is not a category by itself, it's not a main category by itself. Therefore, Christianity is part of a main category, which is the fourfold operation of God. Do you see what I do? I do the very opposite of what we have learned in classical sciences. In the classical sciences, and the way we are brought up in school, is to have an object, to have a situation, a problem, and you say, in order to solve that problem, you have to analyze that problem. And so you take it apart, and you analyze it until you come to those parts which constitute the problem. Today, we do exactly the opposite, also in other sciences. We are not the same in Christian science. That's a method that is now adopted more and more in all the other sciences. We do the very opposite. We first ask, what part does that problem play within a much, much bigger frame of reference? And so we go from the isolated problem, like man, we go first and say, well, man has nothing to do with a capitalized term. Therefore, in order first to see where the place value might be of man, we first translate that into Christianity and say, well, man has to do with the focal point on Christianity, not on the Word, not on the Christ, not on science. Man is the outcome, therefore Christianity. So we go to a bigger frame of reference from man to Christianity. Then we see that Christianity is by itself not the main category, so we have to go to a bigger frame of reference, and we say, well, Christianity is just one phase within the category of the fourfold operation of the Holy City. And I come to the category of the fourfold operation. And so I find in that way a higher frame of reference. So in order, therefore, to solve the little problem called man, sometimes you think it's a big problem, but I know you know now what I mean, that isolated problem called man, we are not starting to investigate man. We are not doing that and say, well, man is perfect and man is idea and man is this and that and the other and man is the idea of God and man is created by God and I don't know what. You see, that we did in metaphysics. But when we are thinking in science, we do it very differently. We say, well, man has to do with Christianity. Christianity is just one phase in the fourfold operation. So in order to demonstrate man, I have to go to the bigger frame of reference and see at least the second main category, namely the fourfold operation of God. So in this way, I answer first a first step to the question, well, Max, what do you mean by thinking in categories? I have now answered that in so far as I have first shown that we have to put a problem or a situation or a question first into its right category. When it is in the right category, like here, and we limit ourselves more or less in this week, more or less, not totally, more or less to that main category of the fourfold operation, when I have that, then I must see what is the order in that category. It's not enough that I say there are four sides in the city, but don't understand the order in which they are presented. So it's not the same if I say, well, in that fourfold operation, there is the signs, and there is the Word, and there is Christianity, and there is the Christ. So I've enumerated those four phases, but they don't make sense in that order. We must see that only order gives sense to some to a category. Yeah? Have I put that also very clearly? And I show you this in this way. Let's take Christianity or Christianity. Just don't bother if I say something, Christianity or Christianity. I mean always Christianity. So let that be a convention between us for this whole week. So if I have the point of view or the point focused on Christianity, and if I have Christianity and say, well, what is Christianity if I wouldn't have first the Word? If I would start with Christianity in my consciousness, in my thinking, without starting with the Word, then what would I have? I would have had what? I would have a blind faith, not an understanding, because the Word would first give me an understanding of what is God. And if I don't have that, the first, the Word, an understanding of the nature of God, then I have no basis. I have no basis of understanding. And so my whole practice in Christianity would be based on belief, on blind belief, and therefore it would be Christendom. Would be now really the old sense of Christianity, of practicing a good faith and a good belief, but not really science, because the Word would be missing. So my practice, without going back to the Word, would be a blind practice, would not be a scientific practice. Or what would we have if we had Christianity without the Christ? If Christianity would not be preceded by the Word and then by the Christ, well, what would we have there? We would have an absolutely undemonstrable can I say that? An undemonstrable practice, because I would try to demonstrate something out of my own efforts. I would have the law. I would try to demonstrate with what I know about God to demonstrate man. And that is what usually the student is doing. That's what I indicated already yesterday, and I said I repeat it and I repeat it. And I like to repeat it because in the practice over the years and years, I always could see that this is one of the main points where the student fails. Why the student says, and you have heard that, and you have perhaps said that to yourself, that you have said, now I have studied such a lot, so much. I have been really in earnest in studying the Word of God, in studying the seven synonymous terms. I have given hours and put hours into it. And yet it seems that I cannot solve my problems. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that to yourself? Huh? This is being obedient to the Word, and then jump from the Word to Christianity. To take the Word as our basis and only basis to demonstrate our problems. Can you see? Demonstrating our problems is Christianity. And we leave out the Christ. We leave out the Christ. If we leave out the Christ, what do? We try to demonstrate God in our lives. But it's the we that does the job. That's what Paul could see with the law. That he tried to be a model Jew and couldn't make it. He just couldn't make it because he tried to be obedient to the law. He. And he could see that he has no authority within himself to demonstrate it. He had no divine authority within himself. He relied on his own will, on his own plan, on his own desires, his own concept of what he should demonstrate. And as I say, this is that so foreign to what you experience with yourself and with other students that they say, I couldn't make the demonstration. I couldn't make the demonstration. And if you look deeper into it, you will see that they have decided right from the beginning what Christianity should be. What the demonstration is always at the point of Christianity, what the demonstration should be. We, as people, as mortal, think that we are so clever, so wise, that we know what has to be demonstrated in our lives. And yet we know that God is the only wisdom and only intelligence. Again, what does it mean in this case again about demonstration, which is at the point of Christianity? We try to demonstrate the Word through the we, through our concept, through our authority, through our power, through our thinking power. And don't let first the Christ define to us what God wants to demonstrate in us. If you have this line of reasoning, then you have really the Word, Christ, and Christianity, which means that Christianity is the very opposite of what we try to demonstrate. We try to demonstrate our sense of demonstration. We know what is right and good. We know what should be demonstrated. We know that sickness is not good. We know that good is health. And so we say, that must be demonstrated. And we try to demonstrate it. We. Instead of letting first the Christ rule in us, that the Christ Spirit really is dwelling in us. And that Christ Spirit in us does not know what Christianity brings forth as a form. It does not know. Just think of the fifth day of creation. It says that we do not know what our individuality is. See, we do not know Christianity, the form of Christianity, the individual form of Christianity. We do not know what our individuality is. We only know one thing, that it is allied to God's nature. It brings it right back to the world and to the Christ, which means, in practical terms, that if we feel that we have a problem, that we put that aside, that whole question says, well, perhaps we have a problem, but I guess God doesn't have a problem. We make a problem, we consider it as a problem, but it's we. And that we is not a divine authority. Therefore, we go back and say, well, I don't know what has to be demonstrated. I don't know what the outcome of this situation will be or must be. I only know that if I start in the right order, if I start with the Word and entertain in consciousness what God is, what God knows about Himself, how God knows about Himself and conceives of Himself as mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love, then I have established first the Word within my consciousness. And then comes the critical point, that we don't jump to men, but that we say, and this nature of God has an idea. Now we come to the Christ idea. Now we come to the Christ authority. The Christ is that power which works out God's idea. And so, at that point, we sit back and are still within ourselves and say, all right, now that Word of God has a Christ, and that Word of God is going to work out that which is best for me, works out the maximum for me. And I don't know the maximum in its form, in its gestalt, in its outline. I can't identify it through my own conceptions. I have to let it be the outcome. And you see, Christianity is the outcome. It comes from out. Comes out from God and comes. And so it is the outcome. And the more I let go of all the material conception, what the outcome should be, the easier the Christ is operating within the situation. The less obstacle I put into the way of Christ's operation. And I let the Christ operate the way He likes to operate, and I just must have that attitude, and that which comes out of it, the outcome, is the Christ ideal, and not my own personal ideal. Then I have followed the order of Word, Christ, Christianity. Yes? Again, I said yesterday, and I want to repeat it today, namely that this false attitude, or false attitude which we have, comes really from our study of the textbook, which we do not always understand, like the sixth day of creation, where it said, well, God created man in His image and likeness, and it is perfect. So at that point of the sixth day of creation, we have a relationship between, really, God and man, between Word and Christianity, and show that Christianity has the same nature as the Word. But we forget that the days of creation are still in the Word order, and they only show really the order development of God's idea, not the demonstration of God's idea. That's something else. The modus operandi is the fourfold, whereas the days of creation are the sevenfold. And so we make usually that mistake which says, all right, if I want to demonstrate the perfect man, all what I have to do is to go back to the Word, because God has created man, so if I fill my thought with what God is, and then make the deduction to man right away, then I can demonstrate the right sense of man. And I can't. I can't. This is, to my sense, a most important point. And next week, when we do a quite a different subject, I will show you again In Mrs. Eddy's development, she underwent that same difficulty that she first had put too much stress only on the word and then on Christianity, and only in her later years she began to see the place value of the Christ, and only in the last few years the place value of science. That I will show you next week. A most interesting development. And it's the same development that we undergo. We usually can see that the development is always the same, no matter if it's individual or if it's collective or if it's universal. It's a chain of scientific being reappearing in all ages, in every situation, so that these are fundamental laws. And if we sidestep those fundamental laws, we always arrive at the same bad effects. So that would mean, in order to sum it up once more, sorry that I do it again, think daily in your life. Think daily in your life that you should not try to demonstrate Christianity just with the word. It's blind faith. You give the Christ no chance to bring out that within yourself, within us, that God wants to bring out. And what God wants to bring out within us alone matters. Everything else doesn't matter. Everything else is a misguided demonstration that can have an effect in the realm of belief, but it has no effect in the realm of reality. There it is misguided. And then finally, that's become then to science, must include that into the fourth aspect of that category and see that that demonstration is not to our glory, not for ourselves, but that it is always done for the glory of the Word of God. And so we bring it back through the fourth, back to the Word. And so you have a cybernetic loop that brings through the feedback, brings us back to the Word, to a higher sense of the Word.